Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with His intimate, loving service. Purport. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole Spirit Lord Sri Krishna. It is a completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. By such contact with the Lord, without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10, the devotee can rise above the material plane to understand the inner meaning of the Vedic literatures, including the Lord's existence in the transcendental realm. The Lord reveals His identity gradually to one who has unflinching faith, both in the spiritual master and in the Lord. After this, the devotee is endowed with mystic opulences, which are 8 in number. And above all, the devotee is accepted in the confidential entourage of the Lord and entrusted with specific service of the Lord through the agency of the spiritual master. A pure devotee is more interested in serving the Lord than in showing an exhibition of the mystic powers dormant in him. Sri Narada has explained all these from his personal experience, and one can obtain all the facilities which Sri Narada obtained by perfecting the chanting process of the sound representation of the Lord. There is no bar for chanting this transcendental sound by anyone, provided it is received through Narada's representative, coming down by the chain of disciplic succession or the parampara system. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramilitangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivazadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again. Imam Swan Nigamam Brahman Avetya Madanushtitam Adan Me Gyanam Aishwaram Swasmin Bhavam Chakeshivaha. O Brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with spiritual opulences, and then with his intimate loving service. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is like an ocean of nectar, or Prabhupada would give the example that like sugar cane, wherever you bite into it is sweet and nectarian. So this is such an amazing pastime and instructional for us, Srila Prabhupada even saying in the purport that if we follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni, then the perfection that Narada Muni achieved is also available for us. Amazing. Isn't it? And the example of Narada Muni, that he's from family of a maidservant, low class, doesn't even know who his father is. It's not that he's necessarily a very elevated Brahmin or some perfected being in his original situation, but because his mother was pious, had some devotion, and she was serving, taking the opportunity to serve the Bhaktivedantas who were staying at their place, then he got the opportunity. He was blessed with the chance to interact with exalted personalities. And this is such an amazing thing when we get the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. All of us at some point were probably swimming around in the ocean of nescience, and somehow or other, as Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, by some good fortune, we got the opportunity to come in contact with a devotee. What an amazing opportunity that was. But I don't know about you, but for myself, when I first interacted with the devotees, although I was inspired, but I took the book, but I didn't want anything to do with the devotees because I thought they were a little weird. So I kind of, but the book was amazing. The pictures were incredible and inspiring, and already searching for something spiritual in the world, I felt like, yes, this has some answers, but this guy is definitely a little strange. So I took the book. So it wasn't so easy to get that association. It isn't so easy to stay in the association. Once you get the association, it can be a struggle. From time to time, we come up against our own anartas that want to push us in a different direction. I don't know if I'm the only one who has ever experienced that. Sometimes it's like you just want to run into the forest and be alone. Maybe I can just beat my mridanga alone in the forest and become Krishna conscious. But then we have to remember that Srila Prabhupada, he painstakingly set up the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. His whole point wasn't just to give Krishna Otherwise, he could have come just with the Bhagavatams, and he could have preached, and he could have just tried to distribute books. But his whole point was to bring people into the association of devotees, to create the powerful association of devotees, and to, in order to provide support and strength, encouragement, and also whatever purification may need to be there so that we can make spiritual advancement. The first line of Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says that communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. So in one sense, just hearing from the Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna is non-different from associating with the Lord. The thing is, how are you going to get that idea of communion? At least most of us, bhakti begets bhakti. We had to get it from somebody else. Somebody had to help to water that seed or plant that seed of bhakti. And to nourish that, it also takes the association of devotees. Without that association, Srila Prabhupada explained that if you think that you can be Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees, you are a madman. In one place he says madman. He says fool also, but you are a madman. Insane. Crazy. Meaning, it's not really possible. He explained that what will happen if we go outside of the association of devotees, Maya, yeah. We'll begin to think whatever we think is the right thing, although the false ego always wants us to not really hear from anybody else anyway. But if we go outside of the association of devotees, then the mind, even though we may try to continue to practice, but slowly, like it's explained, off 1 inch today and off a mile tomorrow, you know. So over time, we'll just slowly drift away into some other thing and make something up. So it's so vital that we stay in the Sangha of devotees. And in that Sangha of devotees, it's so strong that when persons come into that association, they become transformed. I was just recently in the States visiting with some family, and back to the neighborhood where I grew up, which is always a challenging situation because nobody there is really Krishna conscious, and I'm not really so Krishna conscious, so it's definitely a challenge. So just being there, but somehow or other I've started to connect with some neighbors, people that I really never even knew when I was there before. And over the years, whenever we go there, we always make prasadam cookies and share them with everybody and, you know, just try to be nice. But we don't, generally I'm not there dressed so much like a devotee because I'm with my parents, so I just kind of play the low-key role. But everybody knows we're Hare Krishnas, and that's what we do, and that's what I do in London. But there's one gentleman who's in his mid-70s, and over the years we've been communicating and sharing books. And this year when he saw me, he said, every year you come, I want your association. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty intense. And of course, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, okay. So I said, well, let's get together. So we got together, and him and his wife brought some blueberries and they had picked fresh, and we offered them, made some nice muffins and gave them back to them as prasadam. And then, we met and we were talking, and then gave him a chant to be happy and a higher taste, and he read them. He said, I was up all night reading that chant and be happy book. And the next time I met with him, he said, I want to chant with you. And I said, okay, so we'll arrange some time. But before I could arrange the time with him, because I was going different places, then it was about 4 or 5 days, and I came back and he left this message on my phone. And he said, I've got an amazing story to tell you. He said, I can't believe, I don't know how it happened, but I just started chanting. and I can't stop chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I said, Haribo! My God. He said, I think by your association, and these are his words, I think by your association you had converted me into a Hare Krishna. And he said, but I think I'm a closet Hare Krishna. So anyway, we spent some time together, and it was really amazing. And of course, he started telling his story. And, you know, it's always unique for everybody. It's the little synchronicities that happen, and you see Krishna's hand and this, and his whole thing was having how he had to fix his lawnmower, but somehow, by having to do this, Krishna intervened in his life, and he just started chanting while he was driving to the place to fix it. And his wife was noticing that, usually you would get really stressed out, Michael, but you seem so calm. It must be this chanting that you're doing. So it's very potent, the power of association. Even sometimes we're not necessarily trying, because I'm not specifically going there with that mood of, but wherever someone who's trying to be a devotee goes, if they talk about Krishna and they're willing to share Krishna, then it can have a profound impact on people's lives. So Shri Narada Muni got the opportunity to associate with these great souls. And he took advantage of that opportunity. And those great souls took advantage of the opportunity to give their association. I was reading in Krishna Dharma Puru's wonderful rendition of the Bhagavatam in the first canto, and he describes this scene of how Narada Muni is serving the sadhus. And how they're speaking about, by taking the remnants of the pure devotee, you can make great advancement. And how he was thinking, oh, so by taking the remnants, well, maybe I should ask them, can I have some of your remnants? But he said, but they hardly ever leave anything. They only eat so little because they were performing chaturmasya. So these sadhus were performing chaturmasya, so they would only eat a little bit, and they were eating everything. So he asked them, you said the other day that if you take the remnants of a pure soul, then you get so much spiritual benefit. So can I please take some of your remnants? Now just think, the humility, the innocence. And I was thinking about this innocence because he was just a young boy, just a young child. And this morning, where is he? What's his name? I can't remember now. Shiva. Sadashiv Prabhu was here. Is that his son that he was with? Yeah. And he was dancing and just calling out while Pancharatna Prabhu was chanting. He was just like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I was looking and I was thinking, yeah, reminded of how Srila Prabhupada said that if we really want to make spiritual advancement when chanting the holy names, you have to call out like a child cries out for its mother. Now, I don't think he was crying for his mother exactly, but he was calling the holy name with such innocence and such purity and such enthusiasm. And I was reminded of this statement, is it from the Bible, a Christian thing, that the meek shall inherit the earth. And when one becomes like a child, then one can re-enter the kingdom of God. And I was thinking how easy it is to lose that innocence, that simplicity, that natural kind of humility and abandon to just call out the name without really any inhibition, just calling out with raw enthusiasm, with such love. So like this, Srila Narada Muni, he approached these Bhaktivedantas just asking them, please, can I take some of your remnants? Because you said it's good for me. And they were like, yes, we will leave some remnants for you. But the way the Krishna Dharma Puru writes, that they said just once, because it is not our general practice to leave remnants and give remnants to others. Because of their humility, they're also thinking, take some of my remnants here and make spiritual advancement. Some of us might be like that. I don't know. I doubt it. Here, Prabhu, you want some of my remnants? Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki. So out of their humility, then they also were, you know, okay, we'll give you some remnants because we said it and you're asking so nicely. But it's described by Srila Prabhupada in the purports that simply because he took the remnants of these devotees, that was really his access. Because of that mood of simplicity, humility, and service, you know, tadvidi prani patena pati prashnena sevya, that he was approaching them. And then he wanted to hear. Then he wanted to, he really wanted to hear more from them. And whenever he wasn't present, they would call for him. They would say, please let him give up his other chores. And while we're here for this short time, just let him come and hear. Just like Srila Prabhupada, right? When he was with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and everyone else was going on, I think it was Vrindavan Parikram, and Prabhupada was just sitting and listening. And they were trying to encourage Prabhupada to go, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur marked, he likes to hear. He likes to hear. We should be eager to hear, because this hearing and chanting of the Lord's holy names is non-different from direct communion with the Lord. And when we stop talking about Krishna or hearing about Krishna, then usually we start talking about or hearing about something else, some other unfortunate nonsense sometimes we begin to speak about or hear about. But Prabhupada explains that just like Narada Muni explains earlier when he's speaking to Srila Vyasadeva, isn't it that something that causes an illness, when applied therapeutically, cures one of that same illness? And I think the example that's given is how milk, if you eat too many milk products, I'm sure no one here has ever had that experience, being here on the farm with so many wonderful cows and producing yogurt and ice cream and cream and paneer, of course, yes, paneer. But if you eat too many milk products and you become, have some stomach illness, then Srila Prabhupada, and it's explained that if you take a little yogurt, a little dahi, then that will cure you. So that same thing which caused the problem if applied therapeutically. So therefore we have the tendency to talk. Who here likes to talk? Yes. You can see it with, now they, I noticed over the years, I use this example that the talk plans with phones, it used to be like 200 minutes, 500 minutes, most of them now are unlimited. Because people like to talk. Now people like to talk with their hands. talking, all going on. Who here likes to hear when other people are talking, really? Okay, we've got a few good listeners. Most people don't ever really hear. They're usually just waiting for you to shut up so they can speak. You know, as soon as you say two things, they're like, oh yeah, and then they're just waiting for you to stop, trying to remember what they want to say while they're listening, quote unquote, listening to you. But this process of hearing and chanting, we're doing it all the time anyway. But if we're doing it about mundane activities, then it's just simply entangling us more and more in the material atmosphere. But when we hear about Krishna and talk about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's devotees and Krishna's service, then it's untangling us from the material energy. The time is being spent not creating any more bondage, but actually untying all these knots that are keeping us here in the material world. So we have to try our best to speak always about Krishna as much as possible. Introduce Krishna. I had one good friend when I was, he was senior when I first joined, and he was into music. He used to be a drummer, and I used to be a musician also. And sometimes after we would finish talking about Krishna, we'd start talking about music and bands. And somehow he was so expert, though, that we'd start talking and we'd have a good laugh and we'd bring something up. And then all of a sudden he'd turn it around and be like, yeah, just like Krishna. And he'd connect whatever we were talking about to Krishna. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, back to Krishna. Let's not stray too far away from Krishna. So it's like that. Somehow we have to try to keep our mind focused on Krishna. But it's so easy to forget. Nature of the living entity is to be forgetful. We're so forgetful. We forget so easily. Even we may be reminded in one moment, and within a matter of seconds, it's gone. And we just resort to this, what Srila Prabhupada would call second nature habits. Yeah? We have these second nature habits which drag us through the material world. It's like the default mechanism. So we have to try to conquer over these second nature habits. And the process is so easy, in one sense. It's simple. It's a simple process. You just have to hear and chant about Krishna. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the material energy is always distracting us. She's so expert at distracting us and taking us away from this simple process. And then we think, oh, it's so difficult, it's so complicated. But what could be more simple in the age of Kali Yuga than just simply chanting the holy names of the Lord and sharing Krishna with others, hearing about Krishna, associating with devotees and talking about Krishna? It's so simple. So simple. Then as Srila Prabhupada would say, what is the difficulty? What is the difficulty? Why do we keep getting so distracted so easily? Why does the mind wander and think, maybe there's something else, maybe I should do this, maybe I could do that, maybe this isn't everything, maybe there's this, maybe the... So we just need to somehow bring this mind under control by this wonderful process that's been given. And here there's so many things that we could discuss from the purport. It's nice, Srila Prabhupada explains, it is completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. He says, by such pure contact with the Lord through communion, by hearing and chanting, by connecting with the Lord, he says, by pure contact with the Lord, without offense of material conception. So this contact with the Lord, this communion with the Lord is pure. And it's simple, but it has to be free from offense. And Prabhupada uses the term offense of material conceptions. And then he says, which number? 10. 10 offenses. And I was thinking, if we analyze the 10 offenses and how they all connect to some material or mundane connection, you know, to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord means you don't understand who the devotees of the Lord are, that you're making some material assessment of a devotee, right? Blaspheme the devotees of the Lord too. What's number two? To consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. So therefore you're thinking that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or some demigods which are on the material platform to be equal to. And then the third one is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Why would you do that? Because you're accepting him on some material level. To blaspheme the Vedic literature. So like this, we can go on. All of them means that you're not seeing things in the proper way. finally concluding with to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. What is the problem? What is the problem? What is the difficulty? We hear again and again and again and again. We expose ourselves to perpetual hearing, and still somehow we may be holding on to something. I think I've told this story here before about this gentleman that used to come to the temple. And he would come to the temple, and he was, we were new bhaktas, and he was so devotional. Did I tell this story here before? I mean, he used to come up the steps, every step, take the dust, put on his head, into the temple room, every picture, dust, prayers, just stand in front of the deities, like almost tears pouring out of his eyes every day. And we were all thinking, my God, this is bhakti. We're just like, we got so far to go, you know? I don't want to start wiping the dust off the steps. They might make me clean them, you know? Just, what am I supposed to do? And this guy, he's got so much devotion coming every day. So one day we were chanting in Soho Square, and we saw him come, and we were talking about him. Then he left. And we saw him come out of the temple, and then he went into the church just opposite the temple, opposite Soho Square. I went, wow, he's got so much bhakti. He's even multi-faith bhakti, this guy. Incredible. And so we kind of went over after he went in, and we looked in, and we saw him doing, touching all the pews as he went up to the front, and then he was offering, and we were like, whoa. And so we kind of went back into the park, and we watched him come out, and we followed him, and then he walked across and over on the opposite side of Oxford Street, just down the way, there's a Buddhist center. And he went in there. I was like, this man is on an exalted platform. He's like, all day he just walks around from holy tirtha to holy tirtha. And then he came to the temple the next day, and we saw him. And I went up to him and I said, Prabhuji, yesterday we saw you come here. Then you went to the church and you went some. I said, you just have so much devotion. He said, Prabhuji, I just want to make sure that I get the right one. Whichever one it is. Maybe it's Krishna, maybe it's Jesus, maybe it's Buddha, I don't know. But whoever it is, I'm offering respects to all of them, just so I get my liberation at the end of this program. And I thought, well, that's a nice idea, but there's something a little bit missing there, you know. So it's so easy to still maintain, even though there's the outward acts of devotion are there, but still inside there's an attachment to getting my liberation, you know? And I'll do whatever I need to do to make sure that I get liberated without putting my firm, full faith in the chanting of the holy name. Then I go and kind of sell myself out a little bit to all the different, play my cards, you know? So like that. So sometimes we can become so easily trapped by subtle, very subtle material desires. Like that. Anyway, there's so many things to say, but I would like to stop here and ask if anyone has any questions, comments.